This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Across the country, a handful of states have tapped the National Guard to help with this COVID health crisis. They may be tasked with setting up temporary hospitals or maintaining boundaries, whatever mission the states and counties deem necessary. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, has taken the lead with the massive response to this healthcare crisis. Here in the islands, that means the Department of Defense and HAIMA, the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency, is stepping up. We talked with Brigadier General Moses Ko'o'iwi about what's to come as our citizen soldiers are ramped up in the coming weeks.
So the steps up for us is that we've got our full-time force. The traditional full-time force is a everyday force that we have. We have a certain percentage of National Guard soldiers already come to work Monday through Friday. They're doing contingency planning efforts to determine what possible requests are going to be needed for this COVID-19 response with the state. But we also brought in our operational planners. So these are part-time traditional force, which is these are the guys who usually come in 1 week in a month, 2 weeks out of the year. And they got everyday jobs outside of National Guard, Monday through Friday jobs. But we activated a bunch of them, not too much at this point. We plan on activating more. But for this piece right now, what we're working on is the planning phase. So I've got several planners working with the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency, a couple of other planners working with the Department of Transportation. And they're there to assist them in focusing on several courses of actions that they may need to address the COVID-19 issue, especially with the Department of Transportation concerning some of the things they got to do with either the airports or the harbors, and assisting in that way, only providing advice in many cases, as well as getting down with them and planning and going through the steps of developing a plan.
Do you see things changing now that there's been this announcement about FEMA also stepping up its role?
Oh, yes, I see. I see it changing. We are fortunate that we have a lot of lead time. Watching the United States, the continental United States, and what they're going through, it's a look into what we probably might face. So with that, as I got our National Guard planners where they need to be, which is the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency, and of course I have some planners here with us working on National Guard specific response, we can determine or assess what possible assistance will be needed across the state. So we are providing potential support that's going to be out there. So I'm actually bringing in a group of force just on standby, sort of a ready reaction force of generic skills and capabilities, because we don't know exactly what is going to be needed. We have enough skill sets and experience in providing support that we know that traditional missions that the National Guard does include site security, traffic control, maybe just assistance to stand by and guide flow of traffic or any type of presence that might be needed to assist the people. We've done it before with the lava eruption at Leilani Estate and other types of hurricanes, and even the floods in Wainiha on Kauai. We're there to help as needed in whatever the state or the counties might need. We also have some healthcare planning capability. We have a medical detachment specifically designed for civil support type missions within the Air Guard, and also we have other medical professionals within the Army National Guard. So totally combined, we have limited capability for medical assistance if needed.
And we know that there are supplies that are in reserve as well whenever a disaster strikes. We saw the tremendous work that you folks did with the counties on the Big Island and on Kauai, just with all these natural disasters. You did have more of a stronger presence with keeping traffic in and out in those areas that were very dangerous with the lava inundation, because there were people that just were not obeying the rules.
Some of the people decided they wanted to go back in for various reasons. I mean, some to get some equipment, some of their personal property that they left behind, as well as some just wanted to go in and see if they could get a glimpse of the lava flowing. So there's a wide variety of reasons why people were going back. So that's why it was needed for us to be there. Not as a strict presence, but really to keep people safe, to say, hey, you're minding them, hey, you need to not come around here. It's for your safety. So likewise, if we get into a situation like this where we have to assist with hospitals or whatever the case may be, we'll be there to assist if the state needs our assistance.
Right. If they ask you to help set up tents to screen people or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, so some of that screening is going to be new to us, so not so much for our medical people. But depending on how big this gets, we're prepared to get the basics in for training to assist the communities or the state, I should say, and the counties in any way we can to help maybe with this period of screening or if or after the screening is completed in other areas. Again, it's a little bit new with some of the potential non-traditional support that might be needed, but because of our experience for years with responding to hurricanes like Hurricane Isel on the Big Island, the lava like we explained in 2014 as well as in 2018, and also with the floods in Waianae, Kauai. Our soldiers and our airmen, they actually come from the community. So when we're within the community, there's familiar faces to some of the members of the community. Saying, oh, that's my neighbor. He's in the National Guard. He's helping. So it kind of helped alleviate some tension because they know, a lot of people know who we are. They know why we're out there to support and ensure everybody's safe and to support the law enforcement. We do a lot of law enforcement support based off of the types of security that needs to occur, as well as because the police need to continue on their regular normal duties. But we also work side by side with them. We don't do things by ourselves.
Well, do you think you folks might be tapped to make arrests if it gets down to mandatory quarantine? I mean,
we won't be specifically doing that. Like I said, whenever we work on a law enforcement capacity, we work with the law enforcement community. So what will happen is if some arrests might have to occur, we'll be there to support the law enforcement. They'll be the ones doing the necessary arrests, not us. But we'll be there as backup or extra security or to assist as they need. We won't be doing that independently away from the law enforcement presence.
Give us a snapshot. What is our manpower at?
As far as the National Guard, we have approximately 5,500 assigned, give or take, because people are retiring and people are entering the Guard, and that's with the Air and Army National Guards combined. We do have some first responders. They're in their normal everyday job, so we won't tap into the first responders. We won't ask them to come in, and we'll let them continue their first responder jobs. And even some of the medical personnel, if they're busy helping in this COVID-19 response in their civilian capacity, we won't ask them to come in.
Okay, so you won't tap out everybody all at once?
Yes.
Yeah, because I imagine if this does ratchet up, that you may need to relieve folks as well.
Yes. So normally what happens is we coach these disasters in a phased response. So we got several tiers of how we configure the force to assist depending on the type of missions we have. And we start off at the base model. We don't come in at 100% of our force. We'll look at the threat and also the support needed by the counties. We'll assess that, and then we'll come up with what we call a task organization of the force, and we determine whether we're going to do a functional type of approach, which is command centralized here at Diamond at the headquarters, and then assigning functional type of activities under several different commanders to execute them. So for example, a medical commander to do a medical type of response, or a commander who's going to do a security response, and he'll do a security response across the island or state. But most of the time what we'll do, because of the way the islands are, is we'll break up our organization into a combination of functional items as well as a geographical task. So we'll assign a task force commander for an island, execute National Guard response as needed, and then what we'll do at the headquarters is provide the necessary forces needed to execute the type of support that is needed on the island. And that'll come under one commander.
That was a conversation we had with Brigadier General Moses Kauivi from the State Department of Defense, giving us a snapshot of where things are with the National Guard forces as we move into a new phase of dealing with COVID-19.